Good evening. Let's start with 298 in the green book. 298. God calling, yet shall I not hear? Earth's pleasures shall, still shall I hold dear. Shall passing years glide swiftly by, and still my soul in slumber lie. God calling yet. Want to look at three different people who God called or talked to, and to show how He yearns for the salvation of souls, and how even today He's calling each one of us that we do not know Him yet, calling us to Himself, calling us to His Son. So let's sing 298. I hope we each can say and sing the last line, Thy voice, O God, has reached my heart. How blessed we are if we have heard the voice of the Son of God and turn to Him. Those that hear His voice and believe have life. How good to know that God in His grace is still calling each one of us to Himself. Well, let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank You for Your great love toward the world. We read that You so loved the world, You gave Your only Son. And You, through Thy Holy Spirit, continue to strive in the hearts of men to turn them to Thy provision, to the One who You provided, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We just thank You for Your great love for mankind, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So bless Your word as we read it, and we just, again, thank You for Your grace and mercy and love and tenderness, and we just ask for Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, there's three people I want to look at who God called or talked to. Let's turn to the first one, Genesis chapter 3. Let's just read a few verses here just to refresh our memories, which we probably know this story from childhood. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. So that's verse 9 that I had in mind. The Lord God called to Adam. The question was, where are you? Where are you? Now we know that God is omniscient. God knew right where Adam was. God knew that Adam and Eve had taken of the fruit. God knew that they had tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. God still asked the question, where are you? Where are you? We'll come back to that. Where are you? Where am I in my relationship with God? But just a couple of verses to remind us how God knows everything about us, knew everything about Adam and Eve, And verse that came to mind when I was reading this is Hebrews 4:13. Because it has the word naked, which was how they found themselves after they had sinned. They were exposed. Their sin could not be hidden. And Hebrews 4:13, we have, "There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." And also the end of verse 12, "A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we see the omniscience of God, His all-knowing. He knows our, even the intent of our heart. We might not even be conscious of what we're doing, but God knows us through and through. He knew where Adam was. And just a couple more to remind us. In one sense, if we're the Lord's, it's comforting to know that He knows us through and through. But if we do not know the Lord as our Savior, it could be a terrifying thought to know that He knows everything about us. In Luke chapter 12, it speaks about the lowly sparrow. Luke 12, verse 6. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Again, reminding us that He knows everything about His creation. Even what we may consider a lowly sparrow that just flutters from tree to tree. God is aware of everything that He has made. And verse 7, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." Something that is really not that important. How many hairs I have in my head. And every day there's more dropping out. But it just shows how God knows all things. And in the end of verse 5, "Fear Him who has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him." So this is the one with whom we have to do. And He knew all about Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin. Just one more, Psalm 139, which David was overwhelmed with the thought of this, but by the Holy Spirit of God, he was moved to write these words. Psalm 139, 1, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, You know it altogether." He knows me through and through. Knows my thoughts. He knows my paths. He knows my ways. He knows my words. He knows everything. So, where are you, Adam? Going back to Genesis 3. Where are you? Where am I in my relationship with the all-knowing God who has created us? Where am I? Where am I in my relationship with Him? Well, Adam and Eve had sinned. In Genesis 2:17, says in the last part, "For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Well, this is their relationship with God at this moment. They had eaten of the fruit, and their relationship with Him, they were dead. As we have in the New Testament, dead in trespasses and sins. And they were also physically dying. I believe at that moment, their cells began to die. And as our bodies do, but they're renewed, and eventually at the end of our life, it stops. But their relationship with God had been broken. Isaiah 59, I think, describes what happens when we sin. This was between God and the nation of Israel, and we know how they failed over and over and over again throughout their history, and today they have rejected the Messiah, they've rejected the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. But 59 verse 2, this is a description of Adam and Eve at this time, and also Israel as a whole, and also of you and me if we have not had a covering for our sins. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. What an awful condition to be. Our sins and separated from a God who wants to bless us, who loves us. Well, let's see how God provided for Adam and Eve. They tried to provide for themselves, as we see in verse 7, Genesis 3:7. They sowed fig leaves. I don't know how long fig leaves would last, but probably only at the most a couple days, and then they would wither and fall off. But it reminds us of how people are trying by their good deeds and their works to try to gain salvation and to cover their awful sins. But only one can provide us a covering, and that we find in Genesis 3:21. And it's provided by the Lord God Himself. It says, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. We cannot clothe ourselves. It has to be a work of God. And we know it is through His Son. Tunics of skins. In 2 Corinthians 5, we see what God has provided through the Lord Jesus. Second Corinthians 5:21. For He, God, made Him, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become, or we might be made, the righteousness of God in Him. I like that word made, because it takes us back to Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made tunics of skin. So we are made the righteousness of God through Christ. We can't make it ourselves. It has to be Him placing His righteousness upon us. But what did the Lord Jesus have to do in order for us to be made righteous? He had to take our sins and our rebellion, our iniquities upon Himself. And God judged Him there at the cross. He was made sin for us, or some translate it, a sin offering for us. And we come under and sheltered on Him, hidden in Him. And this is how we, as we have in the end of verse 20, are reconciled to God. This is the only way for our sins to be covered. God has to make the provision, and He has made it through His Son. And in Isaiah 61, it describes this as a covering. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So So it's all His work. Praise be to His name, and He provides. He sent His Son. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And He wants to give us this covering. Back in Genesis, an innocent lamb had to be slain, or goat, or whatever it was, to provide Adam and Eve a covering that would last. As I said, fig leaves would not last very long. But it shows God's love and provision for mankind. He sees us in our awful condition. He provides a Savior, provides a covering. So we have in Isaiah a robe of righteousness and a garment of salvation. And it covers us. We are justified freely by His grace. What a salvation, a perfect salvation. Completely our sins are covered, they're washed, removed as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. So God calls, and He continues to call today. Time's going. Okay, let's look at the second one. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, where God calls Samuel. Let's read a few verses just to get the story. 1 Samuel 1, 24. And when she had weaned him, that Samuel, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, one skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. The child was young. Verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Chapter 2:11. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. And then chapter 3:1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. It came to pass at the time while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow dim, so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. So he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you call me. And he said, I did not call, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you call me. And he answered, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel again the third time, so he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Samuel, Samuel. Do you know that the Lord knows your name? We saw in some of the verses how omniscient God is, how He knows all things. But to know your name shows His intimate desire to communicate with us, to talk to us as a person one-on-one. Samuel, Samuel. In John 10, as the one who is the shepherd of the sheep, it's a picture of us, a picture of the Lord concerning us in John 10:3. 3. Here he is as the doorkeeper or the porter. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He knows us by name. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. So he knew Samuel. Well, we might think, again, it's hard to comprehend the infinite knowledge of God. And I think we can see it in Psalm 147. I don't know how scientists decide how many stars there are, but they say there are 200 sextrillion stars. That's 2 with 23 zeros. And in Psalm 147:4, he counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. So 7 billion people aren't too many compared to 200 sextrillion, whatever that is. But it just shows how God knows each one of us intimately by name. And he calls us here. Back in 1 Samuel, see if I could find the verse. Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel grew up in the house of God. It was then the tabernacle in Shiloh. He was around the things of God, but he knew about God. But in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Just thinking of some of the young people. You may have grown up going to the meetings, going to Sunday school, going to the retreats and conferences and Friday night youth group. You may know about the Lord, but do you know the Lord as your Savior? Here we see Samuel was surrounded by the things of God. He was young, but says he did not yet know the Lord. But the Lord's eye was upon him. Verse 26 of chapter 2. Verse 21 too, the end of verse. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And 26, the child Samuel grew in stature and favor both with the Lord and men. So God had his eye upon this little boy. And he called him. And we see another thing where he didn't know the Lord yet. Eli told him to say, speak, Lord, in verse 9, for your servant hears. But how did Samuel answer the Lord? He said, speak, for your servant hears. He left the word Lord out. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or like Darby's translation, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You have to acknowledge who Jesus is, that he is Lord. Lord means master, owner, sovereign, the one who is God. Samuel did not yet know him as his Lord. He knew him maybe as the Lord God of hosts, the host of Israel. But the Lord called him. But we do see that Samuel came to know the Lord. I don't know if it was at this time, but at the end of the chapter in verse 19, so Samuel grew. The Lord was with him. Let none of his words fall to the ground. Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So we see that Samuel got, as today we would say, saved. He believed, and was a man of faith that put his faith and trust in the living and true God, the God of Israel. But it's very important here, I think. God, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. How important it is we know him through his word. In 1 Peter, I think Peter reminds us, this is how we're born again, is through the Holy Scriptures. First Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then verse 25, that the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. So it's through the God's word that we get to know who the Lord Jesus is. And as we believe what is written, as we believe on him, it says we're born again. Of course we know in John 4, we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. So it's the Holy Spirit of God using the Holy Word, and we believe and are saved. So Samuel turned to the Lord, and he went on to be a faithful man. He was the one who anointed Saul. He was the one who anointed David. And he was a representative, as it were, or ambassador for God, for Israel. Okay, one more. I'll do this one quick. Let's turn to Acts 9. There's the call of Saul. So we had Adam and Eve in the garden. Had only one command that they were to obey, and we see they failed. We see Samuel growing up in the Lord's house, yet he had to turn to the Lord for himself. Now here we have a religious man, but yet one who is very violent, and yet he thought he was doing the will of God, very religious. In verse 9, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. So we see the viciousness that he had against the early church, the apostles and the disciples, followers of Christ. Threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he went and asked letters from the high priest, so that he, if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly a light shone round him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here again we see the Lord knew him by name. Even though he was living a life that was opposed to God, opposed to his son, that God searched him out, sought him in a special way. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. In verse 13, we see, I don't think this ever went from Paul or Saul's mind, the way he treated the children of God. said in verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." So we see he was religious, very zealous. And we see his vengeance being taken out on those who did not agree with him. But verse 15, but God comes in and does his saving work in Saul's life. "It pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." We all can say that God has called us by his grace. We don't deserve salvation, even if we're like Adam and Eve with only one sin to our charge. We have rebelled. Saul felt this. He called himself the chiefest of sinners. He just felt how unworthy he was to receive salvation. But he just fell on God's grace. "God, call me through his grace." We hear him. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" We see the Lord Jesus reaching out to this guy who had no love in his heart for him at all. He persecuted or punished the church of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So whether we are a young child with maybe few sins, or we're a Saul who is very religious with many sins, God's grace can reach us where we are and save us. Paul did not know, "Who are you, Lord?" He acknowledged that this one who spoke to him in the blinding light was somebody far greater than himself. "Who are you, Lord? I don't know who you are." "I am Jesus." Those of us who know Jesus, we can sing that song. "Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, Jesus." But Paul didn't know him yet, but it wasn't long when he would give his life for this one who died for him. "I am Jesus." Earlier in Acts, I think it might have been Peter, Acts 4:12. Let's read halfway through verse 10. "Whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." And earlier in 10, "by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And then in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus. None other name. Both Satan would blind the world in thinking that there are many roads to heaven. But God has provided one way. He has provided the only way, and it is through his Son. And the Lord, when he was here, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Well, Paul got to know this beautiful Savior. And I think it's further on in this chapter, he started preaching. Acts 9:20. "Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." End of verse 22. "Proving that this Jesus is the Christ." End of verse 27. "Preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Verse 29. "He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And disputed against the Hellenists and they tried to kill him. Oh, the tables were turned. Now they were trying to kill Paul, or Saul. But he fell in love with this one who gave himself for him. I'll just end with a verse in John chapter 20. The reason why John, the disciple, wrote his gospel through the Holy Spirit was the last verse in John 20. That these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. That is the gospel. God's provision, given us a covering, a robe of righteousness, and the salvation that He gives us is through His Son. And it's an eternal salvation that lasts. Not like fig leaves, not like our works that can't cover one of our sins. But Jesus, that blessed one who wants to be your Savior. Let's sing, I think it's 300. Just as I am, become how we are. And God covers us. Number 300. Just as just thank you for calling each one of us, calling Adam and Eve in the garden, calling young Samuel, calling religious Saul. Thank you that you call each one of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And to think that you so loved the world that you gave up your Son, the one who was all your delight in eternity past. The one who was your delight on earth. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the one who came to do your will. Said, I come to do the Father's will. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And that work was to be made sin for us on that cross. To provide us with a covering. Oh God, our Father, we just thank you for the salvation that you offer to whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless your word and just, Lord, help us to hear your voice. Those of us who know you, help us to get better acquainted with you and to follow you more closely, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.